What's the Tea? Brought to you by B-Trans Support and Community with Pride Radio.
Proudly supported by Pride Action North.
Hey everyone, it's Josie.
It's Rose.
And it's Byron.
From B-Trans Support and Community, the peer support service run by trans people for trans people right here in Newcastle. And this is What's the Tea? Today we're talking about Byron.
Hello.
Our health and well-being officer, B.
Yes.
It's a very official sounding title.
It is.
So what exactly is it that you do, Byron?
Well, that's a really good question. I do a bit of everything. I'm going to do peer support and specifically deal with stuff that deals direct with the healthcare service. So an example is if, say, you're having problems getting a GP to agree to a shared care agreement, I would take point on that. It also means I've very recently, in fact, did a speech about being trans and my experiences in healthcare as a cancer patient, because unfortunately I have cancer. But I did that at Newcastle Hospital's Health Inequalities Collaboration Day, and I'm hoping to be going out and doing a bit more sort of hands-on training in the community about how to treat trans people, because I had some good experiences and some really bad experiences.
Of course.
And so I gave a talk on that. I'll do things like go to stakeholder meetings for, there's one coming up with the North East Ambulance Service about how they tackle dealing with their trans patients, as it were, because a lot of the time, sometimes, like if you're unconscious, for example, and someone assumes your gender and it's wrong, and there's all sorts of things like that, and how they want to, and just helping people. I want to eventually help people to advocate for themselves better, and also help. I just want to make access to healthcare easier for trans people. And also well-being, under that comes, like, you know, your mental health, your peer support, but also I'm trying to do things like art groups, writing groups, thinking about healthy eating, all sorts of things like that. So yeah,
that's fantastic.
That's quite a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
So you're kind of an umbrella, really.
Health and well-being is everything.
Yeah, that is everything. That's quite a big thing to be an officer of.
It sounds like I know what I'm doing.
Just kind of winging it, really. So what's your story then?
What's my story? So I'm non-binary transgender.
Okay.
Which means I don't identify in the binary of male or female.
Yeah.
I like to say, personally, right, so people who are non-binary, which is an umbrella term for a lot of different things like agender, gender fluid, gender queer, things like that. I say I'm all of the genders and none of them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I use they, them, their pronouns because it's the neutral pronoun. It's my pronouns.
Yeah.
I get gender euphoria from like when they're used, and it's great. Mm-hmm. I've been out to, when I say out, I mean out to my family as well as just my friends, because it started off with just my friends and then sort of spread outwards for about 10 years now. And I changed my name to Byron because I had a very femme-sounding name and it wasn't me. And yes, and I've literally just got state-sanctioned transgender, as in I've got the diagnosis.
Cool.
Officially yesterday.
Being diagnosed with a transgender.
Yes, that's me. Gender incongruence. Incongruence, yes.
Incongruence, yes. So you say officially diagnosed state-sanctioned transgender now.
Yes.
Now, you said you came out 10 years ago. How does the processes work in that?
So it started with me going to some of my trans and trans adjacent friends. I don't think I'm cis, and I don't think I'm a because I'm AFAB, which means assigned female at birth. Mm. And I said, and I'm not a trans man, but I'm definitely not a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, this is not a thing. And actually a friend of mine had come out recently as non-binary, and until that point I hadn't actually realized I could do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I'd known I could have done that, I would have done this years ago. So we started with using different pronouns with me. And then we went to they, them. And then I was like, I don't want this name. So then I changed my name with my friends. Mm-hmm. But then it became this thing where I had like two identities. I don't know if anybody...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it got to a point though, where it was getting harder and harder to go back.
Yes.
And I thought, I can't do this. So I, so my parents and my uncle, my dad's brother, were coming up to visit me because they all live down south. And I live up here. And I just, I phoned my mother about 3 days beforehand and I said, so I'm transgender and I'm non-binary and this is kind of a gender neutral thing and this is my pronouns and this is my new name and I'm going to send you an email with this all and some links for you to look at. And I just hung up the phone.
Honestly, goals.
That's great.
That is fantastic.
And I sent her this document that I'd worked on where I had like links to things. I was like, this explains non-binary, this explains this.
Oh, wow. You went this through like the entire thing.
Wish I had have been that prepared. Would have been a lot smarter retrospectively.
I recommend it. And I said, please try and use these names and pronouns. We can talk about this when you come up. If you've got questions, write them down, bring them. And so they all sat down and we all talked about this and they were all pretty much, yeah, okay, whatever. My dad doesn't get it and didn't like that I changed my name and all sorts, but they were all like, okay, we've looked at the links. Can you explain this and stuff? And it was really like, and they were all really like, oh, if I really worried about getting my pronouns wrong, like people are. And I was like, just correct yourself. My sisters already knew. Mm. Because I'm closer to them and they were 100% on board. So they've been like running interference and correcting the older generation.
Yes, nice.
And so that's how I came out to my family.
I mean, better than me. I came out on holiday.
But I get that because sometimes you're like, it just builds and builds and builds in you and you're like, okay, no, oh no, oh, I'm blurting it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, they're coming up and I can't go through an entire visit of them dead naming me and calling me
100%, yeah.
She, her, and I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yes.
And then I changed my name on Facebook once they knew and was like, this is what's up. Bye.
It's pretty much as simple as that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Simple,
That's great.
Simple as that, yes. As simple as it can get.
Uh-huh.
No, I suppose at a certain point, obviously, with coming out, I suppose the majority of trans people probably look into healthcare at some point. Mm-hmm. Now, that's your area of expertise. And as a trans person, you've probably got quite a few opinions on that, right?
Yes.
So in a few words, generally, what's the state of trans healthcare like?
I can't swear, can I?
No,
you can't.
No. Okay. The healthcare for trans people is patchy at best.
Mm. Yes.
And it's difficult to access, difficult, nigh near impossible to access gender affirming care.
Yep.
I mean, the Northern Region Gender Dysphoria Clinic, have officially shut their waiting list. They're not taking any referrals at the moment.
Yep.
The waiting list has just got longer and longer and longer. And some trans charities have estimated, they say it's 4 years, but they have estimated 60 years for some. Like,
I did see that.
It's getting harder and harder to get GPs to agree to care share agreements, mm-hmm. Even from consultants within the NHS, because of the political climate. They are worried about, there are various insurance issues. They're worried about being sued if someone wants to detransition, which has maybe happened like three times in case history. Like,
yes.
You know, and they're worried about all sorts of political, sort of the political area, and people are getting, and also there'll be transphobic people who are emboldened by the political climate. Thus, it's easier for them to sort of go, oh no, I don't want to give you that.
Yeah.
Engagement with healthcare is really difficult as a trans person. I have to explain my gender and almost explain my reasoning behind it every time I see a new healthcare professional.
Yeah.
And in fact, I mean, my negative experience that was really bad was when I had my first cancer tumor removed. 4 days after I opened surgery on my abdomen to remove a newborn baby-sized tumor where I'd had 2 units of blood transfusion, I had a chest infection, I was really ill, I wasn't eating and drinking because you can't straight afterwards.
Yeah.
A nurse on night shift came in and quizzed me about my gender.
Not the opportune moment.
No, I was alone. She came in at night. You know, I had no idea what... And I went into trans ambassador mode. I was like, oh, no, she wants to know, so I will tell her. And then later on thought, why the hell did I do that?
Yes.
She asked me some, like, really ignorant stuff.
Yes, yeah. And that's another problem that you have with a lot of healthcare professionals.
Yes.
They can often be quite ignorant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have any positive experiences?
So in the same breath of that, like, at that same... When I got discharged from that hospital, the ward sister came and talked to me. And she said, look, you know, you're being discharged. You don't have to answer this, but the girls have come to me to ask me about non-binary transgender and I've never come across it. And I'm, as the sister, I want to have the answers for my girls so they get it right. And she was like, you don't have to tell me anything, but I will say to you, like, I mean, I'm not trans, but I am, and this, I don't normally disclose this, but she said I'm gay. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with how I do my job, who I sleep with, or any of that. And I was like, yep, I agree with you. Just like my gender has nothing to do with bowel cancer.
Yes.
And she was like, so you don't have to, you know, some resources if you point me in the right. And she genuinely, she was saying to me, look, I understand what it's like to be othered.
Uh-huh.
And I understand what it's like to, and she was old enough that she would have had to have fought for her rights.
Yeah.
And she was saying to me, look, I get it. Can you help me if mm-hmm. you're able? And that was brilliant because that was somebody going, I'm ignorant. And waiting until I was discharged.
Yes.
And it was daytime and there were other people around and telling me I could say no and not grilling me.
Yes, waiting for you to be fully conscious.
Yeah, right. You know, I was eating things at that point and everything. And that was a good experience. I mean, other ones I've had people go, it's getting better, I think, just as the younger generations come up through doctors. I'd had a GP, I said to him, we need to discuss my reproductive organs is how we decided to call it. Uh-huh. And I said, but I find this really difficult because I'm trans, etc. And he was great. He was like immediately on it, got all my pronouns right, didn't ask any unnecessary questions, didn't even bat an eyelid. And I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Then I went to a CASH or a sexual health clinic. And I complained about their form because I didn't think it was very good.
Uh-huh.
And they went, okay, email us here. Tell us what you think needs changing. And then implemented the changes. And I was like, great.
That's great.
It would be fantastic if it always worked like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish.
It would be absolutely fantastic.
100%.
Would be so nice.
So you're disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And transgender.
Yes.
How do those two kind of go together in healthcare, really?
Tragically, I imagine.
Because I mainly use a rollator, or if I'm feeling particularly spry, so to speak, just a walking stick as a mobility aid,
mm-hmm.
that's difficult because in healthcare, lots of things are... accessible if you're disabled,
yeah,
but not always. And then there's concessions that have to be made, and then people view those concessions, and then you go, oh, also here's my pronouns and here's
right.
And they go, well, that's a lot of different concessions, and you feel like you're a bit of a problem, to be honest, sometimes.
Right.
And yeah. People also ask you questions about your disability like they would ask you about your trans status.
Right.
So they'll be like, why do you have that?
That's right, okay. Very strange.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's okay. Very strange.
Right,
that's incredibly odd.
Your legs work and you're young. Why do you need that?
Right.
And when you're trans, people go, oh, does that mean you've had surgery? Or, you know.
Oh, yeah, the surgery.
I'm sorry, your pronouns are what? Why are your pronouns that? What about, oh, the one that I love is, but that they is a plural. It is not. It is both plural and singular.
Yeah, no, it's it is often how much could be avoided by generally a better education system, I think.
That's what makes me sad about when we talk about people like, I don't want my kids learning about transgender stuff. I'm like, if we taught this in schools, nobody would have any problems.
Yes. Oh, no, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Or we'd have less problems, at least.
I mean, I didn't even know what transgender was until I found it on the internet when I was like 16.
Man, my first was experience of a trans person was on the internet, and it was he was a gay man in a woman's body,
right.
But he was like 15. And blew my mind. I was like, you can do this?
This That's is a thing.
What? But how do you know you're gay? I don't understand.
Right, yeah.
It's incrementally getting better. Yes, the political climate doesn't help with our healthcare.
Definitely not.
It doesn't help with our healthcare in general.
No.
The Tories and the NHS, in my personal opinion. But it does get better. You do have to continually fight in the beginning, but then people cotton on.
Yeah.
I used to have letters that I would hand out to healthcare professionals, and I'd be like, hi, my name's Byron. These are my pronouns. These are things you can say. These are things I would rather you didn't.
All right.
And stuff like that. And these are things I struggle with. People are getting better, and I came to be just to do peer support, and I ended up doing the health and well-being because I want to make it better. I don't want anybody to be quizzed about their gender when they're recovering from major surgery.
Yeah.
Never, ever again if I can help it. And I'm on a mission to try and change that, even if it's just in the Northeast. You know, it's okay to struggle with these things. We all do. And I would recommend, you know, taking somebody with you if you struggle.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
To all appointments.
Yeah.
And also go to the doctor, even if you think it's hypochondria. It might be cancer, just saying.
It's probably a good one to put out there.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, no, do get your cancer screening if you can, because trust me, you don't want cancer.
No.
It can be entirely avoidable in some cases, and just keep going, guys. We can do this. We exist. Nothing they say or do or legislate away or on will ever change the fact that we exist.
Yeah.
Have, will always. And I'm not going to stop fighting for better healthcare for us. So
that's fantastic. So that was Byron talking about healthcare and well-being, which was really interesting to hear about, actually.
No, thank you for letting me rant.
No problem at all. So if anyone wants any advice, just wants to chat, or has any other queries, feel free to follow us on social media at BTransNB. And make sure you tune into the next episode of What's the Tea, which we'll talk about being trans at Christmas.
Remember to follow BTransNB on your socials and reach out to us if you have any queries about the services we offer.
What's the Tea? Proudly supported by Pride Action North. Pride Radio.